Have you perused the letters from the Pope, the Emperor, and the Earl of Armagnac?
I have, my lord. And their intent is this. They humbly sue unto your excellence to have a godly peace concluded of between the realms of England and of France.
How did your grace affect their motion?
Well, my good lord, and as the only means to stop effusion of our Christian blood and establish quietness on every side.
I marry, uncle, for I always thought it was both impious and unnatural that such inanity and bloody strife should reign among professors of one faith.
Beside, my lord, the sooner to effect and surer bind this knot of amity, the Earl of Armagnac, near knit to Charles, a man of great authority in France, proffers his only daughter to your grace in marriage with a large and sumptuous dowry.
Marriage, uncle. Alas, my years are young, and fitter is my study and my books than wanton dalliance with a paramour. Yet call the ambassadors, and as you please, so let them have their answers, every one. I shall be well content with any choice tends to God's glory and my country's weal.
What? Is my Lord of Winchester installed and called unto a cardinal's degree? Then I perceive that will be verified. Henry V did sometime prophesy. If once he come to be a cardinal, he'll make his cap co-equal with the crown.
My lord's ambassadors, your several suits have been considered and debated on. Your purpose is both good and reasonable, and therefore are we certainly resolved to draw conditions of a friendly peace, which by my lord of Winchester we mean shall be transported presently to France.
And for the proffer of my lord your master, I have informed his highness so at large as a liking of the lady's virtuous gifts, her beauty, and the value of her dower, he doth intend she shall be England's queen.
In argument and proof of which contract, bear her this jewel, pledge of my affection. And so, my lord protector, see them guarded and safely brought to Dover, where, in shipped, commit them to the fortune of the sea.
Stay, my lord legate. You shall first receive the sum of money which I promised should be delivered to his holiness for clothing me in these grave ornaments.
I will attend upon your lordship's leisure.
Now Winchester will not submit, I trow, or be inferior to the proudest peer. Humphrey of Gloucester, thou shalt well perceive that neither in birth nor for authority the bishop will be overborne by thee. I'll either make thee stoop and bend thy knee, or sack this country with a mutiny.
Help ye charming spells and peri apps, and ye choice spirits that admonish me, appear and aid me in this enterprise. Now ye familiar spirits that are called out of the powerful regions under earth, help me this once that France may get the field. Oh, hold me not with silence over long. When I was wont to feed you with my blood, I'll lop a member off and give it to you in earnest of a further benefit, so you do condescend to help me now. No hope to have redress. My body shall pay recompense if you will grant my suit. Cannot my body nor blood sacrifice entreat you to your wonted furtherance? Then take my soul, my body's soul and all, before that England give the French the foil. See, they forsake me. My ancient incantations are too weak and hell too strong for me to buckle with. Now, France, thy glory droopeth to the dust.
Yeah! think I have you fast. A goodly prize, fit for the devil's grace. See how the ugly witch doth bend her brow, as if with Circe she would change my shape.
Change to a worser shape thou canst not be.
Oh, Charles the Dolphin is a proper man. No shape but his can please your dainty eye.
A plaguing mischief light on Charles and thee, and may you both be suddenly surprised by bloody hands in sleeping on your beds.
Fell bunny, hag, enchantress, hold thy tongue!
I prithee give me leave to curse a while.
Curse, miscreant, when thou comest to the stake.
My prisoner!
Oh, fairest beauty. Do not fear, nor fly. For I will touch thee but with reverent hands and lay them gently on thy tender side. I kiss these fingers for eternal peace. Who art thou? Say, that I may honor thee.
Margaret, my name, and daughter to a king, King of Naples, whosoe'er thou art.
An earl am I, and Suffolk am I called. Be not offended, nature's miracle, thou art allotted to be tamed by me. So doth the swan her downy cygnet save, keeping them prisoner underneath her wings. But if this servile usage once offend, go and be free again as Suffolk's friend. Oh, stay. I have no power to let her pass. My hand would free her, but my heart says no. As plays the sun upon the glassy streams, twinkling another counterfeited beam, so seems this gorgeous beauty to mine eyes. Fain would I woo her, yet I dare not speak. I'll call for pen and ink and write my mind. Fie, de la Pole, disable not thyself. Hast not a tongue? Is she not prisoner here? Wilt thou be daunted at a woman's sight? Aye. Beauty's princely majesty is such confounds the tongue and makes the senses rough.
Say, Earl of Suffolk, thy name be so. What ransom must I pay before I pass? For I perceive I am thy prisoner.
How canst thou tell she will deny thy suit before thou make a trial of her love?
Why speak'st thou not? What ransom must I pay?
She's beautiful, and therefore to be wooed. She is a woman, therefore, to be won.
Wilt thou accept of ransom, yea or no?
Fond man, remember that thou hast a wife. Then how can Margaret be thy paramour?
'Twere best to leave him, for he will not hear.
There all is marred. There lies a cooling card.
He talks at random. Sure, the man is mad.
And yet a dispensation may be had.
And yet I would that you would answer me.
I'll win this, Lady Margaret. For whom? Why, for my king. Dash, that's a wooden thing.
He talks of wood. It is some carpenter.
Yet so, my fancy may be satisfied and peace established between these realms. But there remains a scruple in that too, for though her father be the king of Naples, Duke of Anjou and Maine, yet is he poor, and our nobility will scorn the match.
Hear ye, captain, are you not at leisure?
It shall be so. Disdain they ne'er so much. Henry is youthful and will quickly yield. Madam, I have a secret to reveal.
What though I be enthralled? He seems a knight and will not anyway dishonor me.
Lady, vouchsafe to listen what I say.
Perhaps I shall be rescued by the French, and then I need not crave his courtesy.
Sweet madam, give me hearing in a cause.
Hush, women have been captivated ere now.
Lady, wherefore talk you so?
Oh, I cry you mercy. 'Tis but quid for quo.
Say, gentle princess, would you not suppose your bondage happy to be made a queen?
To be a queen in bondage is more vile than is a slave in base civility. For princes should be free.
And so shall you, if happy England's royal king be free.
Why? What concerns his freedom unto me?
I'll undertake to make thee Henry's queen, to put a golden scepter in thy hand and set a precious crown upon thy head, if thou wilt condescend to be my...
What?
His love.
I am unworthy to be Henry's wife.
No, gentle madam, I unworthy am to woo so fair a dame to be his wife, and have no portion in the choice myself. How say you, madam? Are ye so content?
And if my father please, I am content.
Then call our captains and our colors forth. And, madam, at your father's castle walls, we'll crave a parley to confer with him. See, Rainier. See, thy daughter prisoner.
To whom?
To me.
Suffolk, what remedy? I am a soldier and an apt to weep or to exclaim on fortune's fickleness.
Yes, there is remedy enough, my lord. Consent. And for thy honor, give consent. Thy daughter shall be wedded to my king, whom I with pain have wooed and won thereto. And this, her easy held imprisonment, hath gained thy daughter princely liberty.
Speak Suffolk as he thinks.
Fair Margaret knows that Suffolk doth not flatter face or fame. What answer makes your grace unto my suit?
Since thou dost deign to woo her little worth, to be the princely bride of such a lord, upon condition I may quietly enjoy mine own, the country Maine and Anjou, free from oppression or the stroke of war, my daughter shall be Henry's, if he please.
That is her ransom. I deliver her. And these two counties, I will undertake your grace shall well and quietly enjoy.
And I again, in Henry's royal name, as deputy unto that gracious king, give thee her hand for sign of plighted faith.
Rainier of France, I give thee kingly thanks, because this is in traffic of a king. And yet methinks I could be well content to be mine own attorney in this case. I'll over then to England with this news, and make this marriage to be solemnized. So farewell, Rainier. Set this diamond safe in golden palaces as it becomes.
I do embrace thee. As I would embrace the Christian Prince King Henry, were he here.
Farewell, my lord. Good wishes, praise, and prayers shall Suffolk ever have of Margaret.
Farewell, sweet maid. But hark you, Margaret. No princely commendations to my king?
Such commendations as becomes a maid, a virgin, and his servant, say to him.
Words sweetly placed and modestly directed. But, madam, I must trouble you again. No loving token to his majesty?
Yes, my good lord. A pure, unspotted heart. Never yet taint with love. I send the king.
And this withal.
For thyself. I will not so presume to send such peevish tokens to a king.
Oh, wert thou for myself. But Suffolk, stay. Thou mayst not wander in that labyrinth. There minotaurs and ugly treasons lurk. Solicit Henry with her wondrous praise.
Bethink thee on her virtues that surmount and natural graces that extinguish art. Repeat their semblance often on the seas, that when thou comest to kneel at Henry's feet, thou mayst bereave him of his wits with wonder.
Bring forth that sorceress condemned to burn.
Joan, this kills thy father's heart outright. Have I sought every country far and near? Now it is my chance to find thee out. Must I behold thy timeless, cruel death? Ah, Joan, sweet daughter, Joan, I'll die with thee.
Decrepit miser. Base, ignoble wretch. I am descended of a gentler blood. Thou art no father, no friend of mine.
Out. Out. My lord, it is not so. I did beget her, all the parish knows. Her mother liveth yet, can testify. She was the first fruit of my bachelorship.
Graceless, wilt thou deny thy parentage?
This argues what her kind of life hath been. Wicked and vile. And so her death concludes.
Why, Joan, thou wilt be so obstacle. God knows thou art a gall upon my flesh. For thy sake have I shed many a tear. Deny me not, I prithee, gentle Joan.
Peasant of vaunt! You have suborned this man of purpose to obscure my noble birth.
'Tis true I gave her noble to the priest the morn that I was wedded to her mother. Kneel down and take my blessing, good my girl. Wilt thou not stoop? Now cursed be the time of thy nativity. I wish the milk thy mother gave thee when thou sucked her breast had been a little rat's bane for thy sake. And else when thou didst keep my lambs afield, I wish some ravenous wolf had eaten thee. Dost thou deny thy father, cursed drab? Oh, burner, hanging is too good.
Take her away, for she hath lived too long to fill the world with vicious qualities.
First, let me tell you whom you have condemned. Not one begotten of a shepherd swain, but issued from the progeny of kings. Virtuous and holy, chosen from above by inspiration of celestial grace, to work exceeding miracles on earth. I never had to do with wicked spirits. But you, that are polluted with your lusts, stained with the guiltless blood of innocence, corrupt and tainted with a thousand vices, because you want the grace that others have, you judge it straight a thing impossible to compass wonders, but by help of devils. No! Misconceived Joan of Arc has been a virgin from her tender infancy, chaste and immaculate in very thought, whose maiden blood thus rigorously effused will cry for vengeance at the gates of heaven.
Aye, aye. Away with her to execution.
And hark ye, sirs, because she is a maid, spare for no faggots, let there be a now. Place barrels of pitch upon the fatal stake, that so her torture may be shortened.
Will nothing turn your unrelenting hearts? Then don't discover thine infirmity, which warranted by law to be thy privilege. I am with child, ye bloody homicides. Murder not then the fruit within my womb, although ye hail me to a violent death.
Now, heaven forfend the holy maid
with child.
The greatest miracle that e'er ye wrought. Is all your strict preciseness come to this?
She and the dolphin have been juggling. I did imagine what would be her refuge.
Well, go to. We will have no bastards live, especially since Charles must father it.
Oh, you are deceived. My child is none of his. It was Alençon who enjoyed my love.
Alençon? That notorious Machiavel? It dies, and if it had a thousand lives.
Give me leave. I have deluded you. 'Twas neither Charles nor yet the Duke I named. But Rainier, King of Naples, had prevailed.
A married man? That's most intolerable.
Why, here's a girl. I think she knows not well. There were so many. Whom she may accuse.
It's signed she hath been liberal and free.
And yet, forsooth, she is a virgin pure. Strumpet, thy words condemn thy brat and thee. Use no entreaty, for it is in vain.
And lead me hence, with whom I leave my curse. May never glorious sun reflex his beams upon the country where you make abode, but darkness and the gloomy shade of death environ you till mischief and despair drive you to break your necks or hang yourself!
Tear in pieces and consume to ashes, thou foul accursed minister of hell!
Lord Regent, I do greet your excellence with letters of commission from the king. Oh, no, my lords, the states of Christendom moved with remorse of these outrageous broils, have earnestly implored a general peace betwixt our nation and the aspiring French. And here at hand the Dauphin and his train approacheth to confer about the same.
Is all our travail turned to this effect? After the slaughter of so many peers, so many captains, gentlemen, and soldiers, that in this quarrel have been overthrown and sold their bodies for their country's benefit, shall we at last conclude effeminate peace?
Have we not lost most part of all the towns by treason, falsehood, and by treachery? Our great progenitors had conquered it.
Warwick. Warwick, I foresee with grief the utter loss of all the realm of France.
Be patient, York. If we conclude a peace, it shall be with such strict and several covenants as little shall the Frenchman gain thereby.
Since, lords of England, it is thus agreed that peaceful truce shall be proclaimed in France, we come to be informed by yourselves what the conditions of that league must be.
Speak, Winchester.
For boiling colour chokes the hollow passage of my poison voice by sight of these our baleful enemies.
Charles and the rest, it is enacted thus. That in regard King Henry gives consent of mere compassion and of lenity to ease our country of distressful war and suffer you to breathe in fruitful peace, you shall become true liegemen to his crown. And Charles, upon condition thou wilt swear to pay him tribute and submit thyself, thou shalt be placed as viceroy under him and still enjoy thy regal dignity.
Must he be, then, as shadow of himself? Adorn his temples with a coronet, and yet in substance and authority retain but privilege of a private man? This proffer is absurd and reasonless. 'Tis known already that I am possessed with more than half the Gallian territories, and they're in reverence for their lawful king. Shall I, for lucre of the rest unvanquished, detract so much from that prerogative as to be called but viceroy of the whole? No, Lord Ambassador. I'd rather keep that which I have than, coveting for more, be cast from possibility of all.
Insulting Charles!
Hast thou, by secret means, used intercession to obtain a league? And now the matter grows to compromise, standst thou aloof upon comparison? Either accept the title thou usurp'st, or benefit proceeding from our king, and not of any challenge of desert. For we will plague thee with incessant war.
My lord, you do not well in obstinacy to cavil in the course of this contract. If once it be neglected 10 to 1, we shall not find like opportunity.
Say the truth, it is your policy to save our subjects from such massacre and ruthless slaughters as are daily seen by our proceeding in hostility, and therefore take this compact of a truce, although you break it when your pleasure serves.
How sayst thou, Charles? Shall our condition stand?
It shall. Only reserved, you claim no interest in any of our towns of garrison.
Then swear allegiance to His Majesty. As thou art knight, never to disobey nor be rebellious to the crown of England. Thou, nor thy nobles, to the crown of England. So, now dismiss your army when ye please. Hang up your ensigns, that your drums be still. For here we entertain a solemn feast.
Your wondrous rare description, noble Earl, of beauteous Margaret hath astonished me. Her virtues, graced with external gifts, do breed love's settled passions in my heart. And like as rigor of tempestuous gusts provokes the mightiest hulk against the tide, so am I driven by breath of her renown, either to suffer shipwreck or arrive where I may have fruition of her love.
Tush, my good lord, this superficial tale is but a preface of her worthy praise. And which is more, she is not so divine, so full replete with choice of all delights, but with as humble lowliness of mind, she is content to be at your command. Command, I mean, of virtuous, chaste intents to love and honor Henry as her lord.
And otherwise will Henry ne'er presume. Therefore, my lord protector, give consent that Margaret may be England's royal queen.
So should I give consent to flatter sin. You know your highness is betrothed unto another lady of esteem. How shall we then dispense with that contract and not deface your honor with reproach?
As doth a ruler with unlawful oaths. Or one that at a triumph, having vowed to try his strength, forsaketh yet the lists by reason of his adversary's odds. A poor earl's daughter is unequal odds, and therefore may be broke without offence.
Why, what, I pray, is Margaret more than that? Her father is no better than an earl, although in glorious titles he excels.
Yes, my lord, her father is a king, the king of Naples and Jerusalem. And of such great authority in France as his alliance will confirm our peace and keep the Frenchmen in allegiance.
And so the Earl of Armagnac may do, because he is near kinsman unto Charles.
Besides, his wealth doth warrant a liberal dower, where Rainier sooner will receive than give.
A dower? My lords, disgrace not so your king. That he should be so abject, base, and poor to choose for wealth, and not for perfect love. Henry is able to enrich his queen, and not to seek a queen to make him rich. So worthless peasants bargain for their wives as market men for oxen, sheep, or horse. Marriage is a matter of more worth than to be dealt in by attorneyship. Not whom we will, but whom his grace affects, must be companion of his nuptial bed. For what is wedlock forced but a hell, an age of discord and continual strife, whereas the contrary bringeth bliss and is a pattern of celestial peace?
Whom should we match with Henry being a king, but Margaret, that is daughter to a king? Her peerless feature, joined with her birth, approves her fit for none but for a king. Her valiant courage and undaunted spirit, more than in women commonly is seen, will answer our hope in issue of a king. For Henry, son unto a conqueror, is likely to beget more conquerors if with a lady of so high resolve as is fair Margaret he be linked in love. Then yield, my lords, and here conclude with me that Margaret shall be queen, and none but she.
Whether it be through force of your report, my noble lord of Suffolk, before that my tender youth was never yet attained with any passion of inflaming love, I cannot tell. But this I am assured. I feel such sharp dissension in my breast, such fierce alarums both of hope and fear, as I am sick with working of my thoughts. Take therefore shipping, post my lord to France, agree to any covenants, and procure that Lady Margaret do vouchsafe to come to cross the seas to England and be crowned King Henry's faithful and anointed queen. For your expenses and sufficient charge, among the people gather up a tenth. Be gone, I say, for till you do return, I rest perplexed with a thousand cares. And you, good uncle, banish all offense. If you do censure me by what you were, not what you are, I know it will excuse this sudden execution of my will. And so, conduct me where from company I may revolve and ruminate my grief.
Aye, grief, I fear me, both at first and last.
Thus Suffolk hath prevailed. And thus he goes, as did the youthful Paris once to Greece, with hope to find a like event in love, but prosper better than the Trojan did. Margaret shall now be queen and rule the king. But I will rule both her, the king, and realm.